Thank you, David, for that upbeat song service tonight, and we appreciate it very, very much. It's always great to come together on Sunday evening, and I will tell you right up front that the lesson that I'm going to present tonight is a twofold. It would be impossible to say everything that I want to say tonight in just one 30-minute sermon, and I don't think you're prepared tonight for a 45 or 50-minute sermon. So, and that has Cowboy Game has nothing to do with it at all, believe me. Matter of fact, the Cowboys may look like this tonight. I don't know. But life without discipline is like an octopus on roller skates. Now, what I want to talk to you tonight about is really discipline. Discipline. Someone asked me not long ago, they said, does God really discipline us? You remember Christ said, those that I love, I rebuke and chasten. And maybe there is a real distinct difference between the chastening of God and the discipline of God. You can execute discipline upon a child without chastising them. But I do think that there is a connection between the two. What kind of God really is Jehovah God? We always say, well, he's a God of kindness, he's a God of love, he's a God of integrity, he is a God of equality. Very seldom do you hear people say that he is a God of discipline. But he does discipline us, and I believe that with all of my heart. Now, we're going to talk a little bit tonight about why he does that and how he does that. Sometimes people go through a lot of problems in their life, and they wonder, when things, perhaps you're down on your lowest level, and you think, well, things are just not working out for you like you would want them to work out, you begin to question God, and you say, God, what did I do? Now, the reason for such a mindset or a mentality is based upon the old Jewish folklore of those who would say that if bad things happen in your life, it is attributable actually to something that you have done. And you remember well about Job's three friends. When Job was down and Job was hurting, his three friends came to comfort him, and they did that for about 7 days. And beyond that, when it didn't appear to them that things were really getting better, but they may be getting worse, well, they began to lambast, if you will, Job and say, Job, what have you done? As if to say that you are responsible for all of these problems that have come upon you. We know, having read the narratives, they didn't know it. But we know it, having read those 42 chapters, that Job didn't do anything. Factually speaking, in the first chapter, God said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all of the earth? He is one who eschewed evil. He is one who feared God. He is one who prayed for himself and also for his children. But even with all of that, people still ask the question, I wonder if God is disciplining us. You know, we all make mistakes, and it would be a horrible thing, I think, to go through life and feeling every day that, you know, if I made a mistake, that God's just ready to pounce on me, and that every mistake I made in life is unforgivable, but it's just not true at all. Discipline is correction. God's correction is an act of love, and love is never a punishment. You know, we say that sometimes, that we punish our children. Sometimes I think it would be better for us to say that I discipline my child or my children. Because if it is done in hatred or if it is done in animosity, you're not really disciplining that child at all. The Bible even says that if you love your child, that you will chasten him betimes, many times. And I'm convinced that when we really love others, we seek to correct. And love is not punishment. God's love is not a pampering love. It is a perfecting love. Now, I want you to notice that. It's not just trying to soothe you or pamper you, but it is trying to perfect your life, bring you to maturity, and that is really what the love of God is all about, isn't it? And that is what His discipline is about. Now, I would tell you also tonight that God disciplines those that He loves. I read a moment ago from the book of Revelation where Jesus said, "Those that I love, I rebuke and I chasten, I discipline." King James Version uses the word chasten, actually. God disciplines Christians. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 5 through 6, the Bible says, "Despise not the chastening of God." Now that just simply tells me that there are times when God does discipline us. Maybe there are times when He chastens us, when we have done wrong. God disciplines churches. If you were to go back and read in the early chapters of the book of Revelation, especially chapters 2 and chapter 3, you would read about the chastening of God upon the churches of Laodicea, or perhaps the church of Ephesus, Sardis, who says, "Hey, we're alive and we're doing well." And God says, "You know what? You may say you're alive, but you are dead." God disciplines churches. He disciplined ancient Israel. Go back in the book of Amos chapter 4, verse 6 to 11, and you would find, God even said to Amos, He says, "You know what? There were times when I withheld the rain. I withheld the rain 3 months from the harvest. And I did it because you were disobedient unto me." And He mentioned several things there. Actually, I won't go into all of them tonight. God disciplined other people. The book of Revelation 16, verse 8 through 10, or He disciplines nations. The Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But if you turn away from God, the wrath of God falls upon those nations who do not honor Him." Proverbs 14 and verse 34. And God will discipline us if we cannot discipline ourselves. You know, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he talks about in this passage here, actually verse 28 through 32, examining ourselves and, partaking of God's love. Now, but in that same text, he also talks about, he said, "If you can't judge yourself, I will judge you. I will judge you." And He does. The Lord disciplines him who He loves. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6. But you know what? I'm glad tonight that God disciplines us. You know, when I was a child, I can remember my father disciplining me. I don't really remember my mother disciplining me or punishing me, that is, in that sense. Discipline means to learn, and discipline means to conquer those things that are wrong and make them right. Discipline actually comes from that same root word for the word disciple. And a disciple is one who learns and one who follows. And so when we think about the discipline of God, you have to really be appreciative and grateful for the discipline of our Father who is in heaven. You know, when we were being disciplined by our parents as young people, we weren't real happy with that. We didn't like that. Young people don't like it today. But if we want our young people to become God-fearing men and women, it begins with discipline in the home. And you really can't overemphasize that at all. It is so very, very important. You make sure that your children are taught of God and how they are to live their lives. The purpose of God's discipline is to save man. In the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, in that fifth book that Moses wrote, he says, "You shall also consider in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so Jehovah, your God, chastens you." Now, Sometimes I think maybe we are an embarrassment to God the way we live our lives. Sometimes our children embarrass us the way they live theirs and what they do. And you think, you ever heard all these people say, my child will never do that? Well, you can almost rest assured that your child will. And that's why it's so important for us to guide and discipline our children. We were talking last Wednesday night in our Bible study, the fact that through the years have always been those who are authorities on rearing children. We had a man a number of years ago, he is deceased now, but a number of years ago, he was an authority on rearing children. But he had none. And those are generally the people that are the authority. They would tell you what you ought to do or tell you how to do it. But they never had any experience. But if you are without God's discipline of which you have become partakers, notice this in Hebrews 12 and verse 8. But then you become illegitimate children and not sons. I want God to discipline me. The older I have achieved in age, I'm so grateful for the discipline of God. Sometimes people are not happy with God's discipline. But the Bible says, but for whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Hey, and God does it in love, doesn't he? He does. You don't ever have to think that God is punishing you or disciplining you because he doesn't like you. But he loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3 and verse 16, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have life everlasting. I like the words of 1 John 3, 1. You know what? The Bible says, what an honor it is to be called a son of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Some of the most profound words on the chastening of God is found in Hebrews 12, verse 5 through 7. And you have forgotten the exhortation, God says, which speaketh unto you as you would unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. You know what that word faint means? It doesn't mean like you just pass out. That's not what it's talking about at all. And sometimes when you use the King James Version, there are other versions that give greater clarity to a particular passage. And I think in this case here, where he uses the word faint, it's closely akin to the way it's used in the book of Luke 18, where Jesus said that men ought always pray and faint not. That means don't quit. Don't give up. So he says here that when you feel that you're being chastened by God and you're being rebuked by God, don't quit. Some people get the idea that because maybe things don't work out in their life, they start blaming God instead of realizing that God is behind the curtain and he's working out what is best for you, Romans 8 and verse 28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purposes. But he says, don't you give up. When you're rebuked of God, don't give up. Don't faint. For whom, listen to the rest of it. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he even scourgeth, not discourageth, but he scourgeth every son whom he receives. And if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Now, that last little phrase in that passage tells me one thing, that all of us are going to be chastened by God. All of us are going to be disciplined by God if you're a son of God or a daughter of God. Isn't that what that passage says? For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? God our Father is much better at parenting than we are. And it would be wise for us to consult the Holy Scriptures instead of what psychologists tell you, Dr. Phil, Oprah, whoever wants to tell you about how to rear your children. You need to get back to the will of God and find out what God says. And he says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. I think I had it upside down. I wasn't trying to impress you here. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother, that you may live long on the face of the earth. He is a perfect father, according to Matthew. Didn't Jesus say, be ye perfect as your Father who is in heaven is perfect? His discipline is motivated by love. That's something that we all ought to remember. So when something happens in your life and you may feel that it's God working on you, just remember, you know what? God loves me. God loves me. And he may be working on me. And he may be working on you. But he does it because he loves you. Now, God was trying to prove a point to Satan when he talked about Job. When he said, there's none like him in all the earth. He says, you considered my servant Job what kind of guy he is? And Satan thought in his mind that he would get Job to quit, to faint, to give up. But he didn't. Job won out, and God won out. And Job said, Lord, I've heard of you all my life, chapter 42. But he says, now I've seen you. I've seen your hand of correction. I've seen your hand of discipline. I've seen your hand of love. The word chasten means to correct. And that just simply means that if we would live lives that are correct in the sight of God, that we must conform to God's standard. We make all kinds of mistakes, and we make the word, and a big, big mistake, as I mentioned at the onset of the lesson tonight, of equating the word chasten with the word punishment. Now, the punishment of God is reserved, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and following, and even 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. It is being reserved unto the day of judgment, when we will be judged. God has a reason for properly training us. You know, the Bible says a child left to himself will bring his mother shame. And there was a time in the Old Testament when God moved upon the nation of Israel because they actually, the Bible uses these words, shamed God. I knew one thing for sure, that when I was a young boy, my father, I received correction from my father. And I knew that if I brought my father shame, you better look out. It's coming and it wasn't going to be good. The one who disciplines, that passage says, the one who disciplines nations will surely correct you. He is the one who teaches us everything. And the Lord knows what people are thinking. The book of Hebrews says he knows the heart of man. He knows what's going on in our mind. To the dividing of joint and marrow, he says. So know that their thoughts are like a puff of wind. You want to put your thoughts up against God? He says, like a puff of wind. Lord, great blessings belong to those you discipline, to those you teach from your holy and divine will. You help them stay calm when trouble comes. You don't throw up your hands. You will help them until the wicked are put in their graves, and the Lord will not leave his people. He will not leave them without help. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. No one will ever, ever, ever love you like Jesus loves you and like God loves you. And that's so important for us to grasp and understand. A relationship with God is the most important relationship that you could ever embrace in your life. Most important. In Psalms 38, verse 1 through 5, the Lord says, Lord, don't criticize me when you are angry. Don't discipline me in your anger. You have hurt me. You punished me and hurt me deeply. And like I said, there are times when God chastens us. I believe that because he loves us. But sometimes we charge God with a lot of things that are just not right. You punished me severely, so my whole body is sore. I sinned, and now all my bones hurt. My guilt is like a heavy burden. I'm sinking beneath its weight. I did a foolish thing, he said. And so God corrects us. But God doesn't punish us in hot anger. You ever seen parents who punish their children? They do it in hot anger? Because they're mad. God doesn't punish us in that way. Here's where we're going to pick up next week. His discipline is not influenced by external circumstances, and he is not embarrassed to correct his children. I hope we'll always remember that. I hope you'll remember this lesson. And the next time when you feel that you're being disciplined by God, I hope you'll back up and say, if I'm being disciplined by God, I needed it. I needed it. If you're here tonight and a Christian and you may have strayed away from God and maybe there are some things going on in your life and God got you here tonight to hear this lesson because maybe there's some things that you need to correct in your life. And God chose this lesson. He chose me to present it. Now what you do with it's up to you. And if you're not a Christian, you're not a child of God, then perhaps maybe God's speaking to you through his word tonight to become one by yielding to him because he loves you first of all. Believe in him with all of your heart and make that profession of faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then take that step that puts you into Christ, as we mentioned this morning, baptism for the remission of your sins. David has chosen a song that we're going to sing here momentarily. And as we sing this song, I hope you'll recognize that it is a song, not just a song, not just a song, but it is a song of invitation. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and take of the fountain of the water of life freely. Revelation 22. Let us stand and let us sing.